For taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, I'm riding with my homeboy, Mr. Patrick Earth. And remember that the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc., that's PACTSINC, and PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information about PAX Inc., make sure you visit the website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization, members of the organization, what the organization does in the community, their codes of conduct, how you yourself can become a member, how you can donate to the organization. And if you hover your mouse over that More tab, you see a couple drop-down boxes. Hover your mouse over the Learning Center, and you'll see resources in audio, politics, books, survival, legal cases, and videos, all for your, educational and entertainment purposes. So once again, that website is www.pactsinc.org, and they put the work in to help make our community better. Pat, it's the new year. It's 2020, dog. It's 2020, Pat. You ready? Pat, it's 2020.
Yay.
Turn yourself up, dog. You low.
Yay.
Dog, you got to get more hype than that, Pat. It's 2020, man.
Yay, yay.
That is, man. New year, new start of whatever. For those of y'all who trying to get in shape, get your ass in shape. If you're going to start something, start that mud. But you should have started 2019. Don't wait to 2020 to start, because you're supposed to go 2020 with your momentum rolling. Right?
Right.
There you go. So, yeah, man. If you're going to come with it, you got to come correct. So, this is our 2019 year-end review show. Also, this is our step in 2020 to let y'all know things that we got coming up, but also to kind of give a review, a recap on last year. We're going to talk about some of our favorite shows. We've got kind of a couple top five lists, a couple list of topics and things that kind of stood out over the past year for us, and things that made headline news, and things that made us talk. So, you ready, Pat?
I hope so.
You better be ready, man. So, I wanna start with, I have a top five list that I titled, "What the Hell, Man." What the hell? And I titled it that because we had a whole lot of topics that made us say that, but these are some that kind of stood out to me. And I'm going to just say the topics, but then we can kind of get into them. So remember we did the show about the young lady who was punished because her SAT scores improved?
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing that made me say, what the hell, man? Like, I forgot the young lady's name off the top of my head right now, but I remember her. She was from here in Florida. Her SAT scores improved They improved dramatically. I mean, damn, I can't even get my words out. Dramatically. I'm talking about dramatically. That ain't even no motherfucking word. What the fuck is dramatics?
I don't know.
But it improved dramatically, and I mean, we talked about that on, what was that date of that show? That was like the 9th, January 9th, 2019, something like that. So you remember that?
I remember the show. I don't know if it was this year, but I don't remember when it was. But I do remember that was an interesting.
Yeah, I was like, the fuck, man. I don't remember everything I was saying that day or my whole mood, but I know I was like, man, what the fuck? Because it's just, you know, a young black girl who did everything she needed to do to improve her SAT scores. Like, she studied her ass off, came back a year later, and the people are trying to tell her that, oh, no, something wrong, because ain't no way your scores could improve like that over the time. It's like, the hell, man?
That whole show was kind of interesting because that was the same show that we talked about, the McDonald's joint in St. Pete. And we talked about
Jasmine.
Something else.
Jasmine Barnes, the young lady Jasmine Barnes.
Yeah, and I'm going off.
R. Kelly.
Then
R. Kelly, Nastas.
Yeah. That whole show, I do remember that whole show was real interesting.
It was.
That was kind of wild.
It was. I'm trying to, cause it's been a while, I'm trying to remember the whole thing around Jasmine Barnes. I know we did a moment of silence for her. But yeah, that whole show was kind of crazy. But it's funny you mentioned R. Kelly, because that's another one of my what the hell topics, because and it's a what the hell because now all of a sudden in 2019, after the documentary comes out, the that Lifetime documentary about R. Kelly, after that came out, now people want to really take a critical look at him and the stuff that he's doing. But it's like, nah, this nigga been doing this shit since the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Since the early 90s, this nigga been doing this stuff. Like, R. Kelly married Aaliyah when I was in the fifth grade, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 35. I was, what, fucking 11 in the fifth grade?
Somewhere around there.
So, I mean, R. Kelly been getting away with this stuff for a while. Of course, you know, you had people who was still... with him, who still supports him, but you had a lot of people who turned their back on him. But it's like people are acting like the stuff is new, and he's been doing this forever. So that's one of the crazy things interesting about that with me is now all of a sudden since the documentary come out, it's more people want to take on R. Kelly and make sure that he's not doing the stuff that he's doing. Then looking at some of the latest things to happen, a lot of people who were supposed to pro R. Kelly are now turning on him now. So.
I haven't seen a whole lot of that. I know it's been happening, but I haven't seen a whole lot of it.
Yeah, you know, well, I can't remember the young lady's name, but one of the young ladies who, her parents were in the documentary and they were trying to get her from his house, reported within the last couple of weeks, she is now speaking out against him now, and I guess things didn't go right, I don't know, but, you know, he got locked up, he keep getting locked up, keep getting more charges thrown at him, and then now people are turning their back on him. It's like, this dude been doing this forever. Like, why? Like, I understand he brought to justice, but goddamn, let's not act like we didn't know he been doing this. So, another topic that I was like, man, what the hell? It was funny too, though. But the Jussie Smollett or the Jussie Smollett situation, however you want to say it. Jesse Smollett. Boy, he need his ass whooped for that.
That was this year? That seems so long ago.
It was this year. It was, that was, because I'm looking at the website now, we talked about that February, early February, like February 3rd.
Yeah, he definitely need his ass whooped. He need an ass whooping every day until he repent to black and white Jesus.
Yeah, because of him, you got this other little girl who faked, like we talked about last week, the girl who faked a kidnapping with her mom. She need her ass whooped. But yeah, come on, bro. If you, I don't understand people who have the opportunities who be in these spaces with opportunities galore and still do crazy shit like that. Like I just don't get it, man.
I don't either. I mean, you're famous, you're wealthy, you're by all stretches, by most people's standards, you're successful.
Right.
Why would you do something like this?
Right. And it's just like, we understand fame is a drug, but god damn, dog. Like, don't put yourself in positions like that so now, because it hasn't turned out well for him. And I'm not, of course he's not going to be somewhere where he no longer has opportunities, but it didn't turn out well for him like he thought. I guess he thought it was going to, it did brighten his star, but it dented some too, because people are not looking at it like, okay, we want to work with this dude. People are looking at it like, this motherfucker crazy as hell.
And he is.
So another topic I had. Remember when the nurse raped the coma patient? We talked about
that's
that.
On my list too.
Go.
Wow.
Like, come on, man. Like, and he raped the coma patient and got her pregnant.
Yeah. Like, any.
And that was the black nurse too, right? Yeah.
No, I can't remember if he was black or white, but I know he was.
I think he was black.
He was stupid.
Yeah, let me do a quick Google search, right? Right, real quick. Cause I guess we need to make a foot and ass list and put a lot of these people in our foot and ass list.
Yeah, he's definitely on that list. Like, and that's just. Not only is it nasty, disgusting, and unethical, but it's just downright stupid. Like,
right. Okay, I found the New York Times article of it, because that was in January. But come on, man. Like, and see, what one of the things about that is nurses are one of those people who are in a position where people are looking to you to help them. And people are in vulnerable positions. You can't be raping no damn people when you're a nurse, especially somebody in a coma. And then you leave DNA everywhere. Yeah, it's a black dude. It's a black dude with some braids or some plaits in his head. Nathan Sutherland. Yeah, he looked like a fucked up Forrest Whitaker in this picture too, so. I don't know. So, I had that one. And then He do, man. Remember we did the show about the U.S. who approved the teen brides? Like, yeah. I mean, the U.S. approved teen brides, like.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah, and then, of course, and it was some stipulations in there, so it wasn't like all out, like it was the 1800s, but the fact that child brides, and it was for, like, white people and stuff, too, so the fact that the U.S. is approving child brides and things for people to have when they come over here, or people when they come, because I think they, if I remember correct, they would bring the brides with them, or they would find the brides while they were here. But
I can't remember all of it, but I do remember what you're talking about, because I stared at that one for a while, thinking about putting it on my list too, because that's just something, you know, you think about the U.S. and blah, 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 blah. You know, we come down pretty hard on other countries doing anything remotely close to children getting married. And here you had this shit happening, right? You know, it's just another example of the hypocrisy. But that was definitely a what the fuck story.
Right. Because this found an old article said thousands of requests by men to bring in child and adolescent brides living in the U.S. were approved over the past decade, according to government data obtained by the Associated Press. So, because, like, they were saying this one 49-year-old man applied for admission of a 15-year-old girl. They wanted to bring these child brides over to the U.S. when shit was approved. Come on, man. Our country, it's like America keep going backwards. Or America keep being America, because was America ever forward? Or they just keep telling us it was.
Yeah, well, you know how I feel about that. America is the land of Hollywood. Everything in Hollywood is fake. You know.
right.
Shit ain't what it looked like.
Right. Now, so what top five list? That was one of my top five. That was my what the hell, man, top five. Those top five topics that I found, I was like, what the hell, man? That's why I named it that. I know it's classic. Don't try to steal that shit, Pat.
Yeah,
what the hell, man?
You good.
That's what I named that list. So what you got? What top five you got? What you got?
My list of crazy shit, you know, I had the girl that was getting brought up on charges for shooting, killing her unborn baby. Even though we know how that rolled out. Still, like,
oh yeah, yeah. The young lady who got in a fight with the other young lady.
Fight, and then yeah. Got shot in the stomach. She was pregnant, and then they charged her with,
right.
You know, the death of her unborn baby.
Right.
And like I said, I know we know how that flipped out, but still, just even going through it, like looking at the way it flipped out for me was just kind of like, yo, what the fuck? Yo, that was just kind of crazy to me.
That's our janky-ass justice system, though, man. That's the thing, though, like when it comes to America and black people, like we're going to always get the short end of the stick, and we have to realize that and really stop looking for America to treat us as equals when America wasn't built to treat us as equals.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And that goes in, well, it's been an interesting thing. Well, never mind. So, moving forward. So the next thing I had on my list was the 21 men in Atlanta arrested during the Super Bowl weekend for their involvement in the child sex sting operation.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't crazy because you don't expect it to happen. It was just crazy because for some reason, it just stuck with me throughout the year. Like every show we did. Like when I started recreating or thinking about what shows I wanted to be on this list, like that was the first one that came to mind. So, and again, it's not even that it was like an unexpected show or something, or unexpected thing. It was just like, yo, that really fucking happened. So
yeah, doing that was doing the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So, and then the next thing on my list is, I'm trying to debate. I'm still debating some of these things on my list. I don't, because I got more than five things on the list.
Right.
Climate change. I got a couple topics on climate change, so I'm going to just bottle all of them up and just one thing about climate change. Because
right.
We did a number of shows on climate change this year.
Right.
And all of them was like, what the fuck? Simply because, like, we still haven't even really taken any major steps towards addressing it.
No, we haven't. And I had, like, a couple environmental issues that I was going on some of the things later. But the climate change, that's something that we have to really, 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 really look at, especially as black people. Especially, shout out to Bruce Strobel for being on our podcast, too, when we interviewed him and we were talking about climate change and the things that he do in the community and just what's going on with the environment. And, you know, he made an interesting point is people like Trump and other people who are saying that climate change isn't real are the people who are going to be benefiting off of trying to fix climate change, who will be profiting off of that. So it's like, I ain't think about that until you said it kind of a business deal. So you act like it don't happen. You know it's happening. You act like it don't happen. And then when it gets bad and it needs to be repaired, you can put the bid in to help it get repaired and get paid off of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, what happened with cigarettes and shit. You know, they were selling cigarettes and denying the issues with cigarettes while at the same time getting funding to do the studies on cigarettes. And then when it came time to really address the issue, a lot of the therapeutic measures that were initially put out were also put out by the cigarette company. So even now you look at like vaping. A lot of the nicotine industry has gotten into vaping. You know, now they're making money off that. So it's kind of like they created the problem, and then they're in a slick kind of way benefiting from all of the attempts to resolve the problem they created. I think that's just the way business on this planet works for some reason. Well, I got my theories, but that's a whole nother show. But when you say Trump, that leads into another thing that's on my list, which is the Mueller report. Now, I keep telling people, you got to read that thing. I know it's 470-plus pages. It's a lot to read. But that, to me, was probably one of the biggest what-the-fuck moments of the year, is that this report got released
and
nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. Like, nobody read it. And that's the biggest what the fuck for me is, not even elected officials read it. Like, not even the Democrats read it. You know, you had a few people here or there that read it, but the fact that this, you know, we're supposed to be facts matter, fact over fiction, this, that, and the third, and you have a man and his team that spent 2 years, roughly, conducting a high-level, extremely thorough investigation of the government. You know, $20-plus million over 2 years, a team of the most high-profile attorneys and lawyers and investigators, the FBI and various other intelligence agencies all getting in to pitch into this intelligence report to figure out what happened with the 2016 election. They produce a damn near 500-page report that incriminates not only the President of the United States, but several other key political figures, implicates Russia in involvement, implicates several other groups and several other people in dismembering and attacking U.S. elections, pitting various groups of Americans against each other. You know, black people were pitted against these people, and these people were pitted against these people. All of that shit wrapped up in this 500-page document, and nobody read it. Nobody gave a damn. And that, to me, that's like, the biggest, like, what the fuck of 2019.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't really give that Mueller report the attention that they needed to give it. So as people were being dismissed and things were happening, because the report should have been a little more effective than what it was, because really all that happened is, hey, we found all this information on all these people fucking up, here it is, and then nothing.
Right.
And then nothing. So it's like, and well, for us too, like the people, the American people, like, most people just talked around it and talked about it, but like you said, not people read the actual report. And I know that's something you talked about big this year. Like, one main topic for you this year, the goddamn Mueller report. Because you made sure you talk about it on your show and on here.
Because it was such the Mueller report was about as incriminating a document as it can get. And everybody wanted including the media outlet, wanted to nitpick and point out these few spots here that fit with the narrative they were trying to push at the moment. And in doing so, they rendered the entire report ineffective. You know, like there was so much more than the paragraph that said that he wouldn't exonerate, but he also couldn't implicate, or he couldn't charge the president with whatever these issues was. It says in the paragraph before that, the reason I can't charge the president is because the Department of Defense has a standing policy that sitting presidents can't be indicted.
Right.
So it says that in the report, but they didn't mention that until after a few days after they had saturated the airwaves with there's no indictment in the report. So, you know, it's just, and then the bigger problem with that was, they actually had people on the news talking about the report before they had finished reading it. So, you know, people were talking about it with the report in their hands, still combing through it. And it's just like, so that was another what the fuck. Like, what the fuck is going on with the news media? You know, the fourth estate, the fourth branch of government, y'all are supposed to be keeping them honest and providing information, and y'all are in such a rush to do a shitty job that you fucking rendered one of the most powerful political documents in the history of this country.
Yeah, useless. Right, you rendered it useless because motherfuckers didn't pay attention to it.
Right. I mean, this motherfucker listed out 11 or 12 different cases of President Trump obstructing justice. Every one of those cases is an impeachable offense. He listed out cases of the Russian interfering with the U.S. elections, multiple occasions, multiple ways. He listed multiple times where the Trump administration was trying to link up with the Russians, and the Russians were trying to link up with Trump officials. They were just too silly to actually do it. They just kept missing.
Right.
But that doesn't change the fact that they still tried. So, but, you know, but that goes back to that clip we looked at in our line group of people saying, you know, don't be a sheep, read the transcript. And then the man was like, you read the transcript. And it's, nah.
He's like, nah. But don't be a sheep. Yeah, right. People are stupid, man.
Right. So, and I told people, too, the Mueller report is a free download. It's a free audio document and a free, like that. So even if you need to take time to consume it, it's free.
Yeah.
Like, I probably wouldn't have paid
for it. It's like reading the book.
Being 100% honest, I probably wouldn't have paid for it. But the moment I found out that it was a free in audio format from Audible, I downloaded Audible just to download the report. And I listened to it.
I don't mind.
But yeah, so that was the bigger, that was probably the biggest what the fuck for me, was the fact that this happened and nothing happened. And, you know, coming out of 2019, Trump has pretty much broken every single norm, custom, and tradition in American history for a president, and he's still the fucking president. And then the last what the fuck for me, it wasn't really a show that we did directly, but it was just the fact that this year, more than any other year since we've done this show, we talked about mass shootings and we talked about overt racism. White people really showing you that they don't give a fuck. And
yeah,
black people still ain't doing shit. That's probably the largest what the fuck.
Like, but with that, with overt racism, and what pissed me off about that with black people is we actually act like there was a time in American history where overt racism didn't happen.
That's true.
We actually believe that. There's no time in American history where black people didn't experience overt racism, not microaggressions, all that other bullshit that they keep trying to, you know, put out. Like, black, cause I read some earlier, black kids face microaggressions. Like, they don't face microaggression, they face racism. They face oppression, white supremacy. That's what they face on a regular basis. But because it comes from a little child and it's not spitting in your face, push you down, nigga, they call it microaggression. It's fucking racism. Black people. Black people, listen at me good. Black people, listen at me good. Racism has always been a problem in America. It has never calmed down, and it will always be a problem in America as long as white supremacy exists. Stop fooling yourself.
Listen at me. No, you're right, though. They definitely trying to soften the tone of it. And we got more examples of that as well this year than we have in the years past. Not going to say ever, but definitely in the years past, with the rise of school shootings, with the rise of blatantly race-related murders and murder attempts and hate crimes and all of these other things still spiraling upwards, you still have a large section of black people that believe that race isn't a problem. And, you know, that's even accentuated with the Amber Geiger situation.
We got to get to that. but for real, though, like, for real, like, race and racism, because race is racism. I'm gonna say it again. The idea of race is racism. Race is a competition. Did you watch the interview with Dr. Claude Anderson on The Breakfast Club yet?
I have not.
Okay. Now, of course, you know, if you've been watching Dr. Anderson over years, of course you know what he's talking about.
His
message don't change. But it's just in these times, his message is just in a new space. So I like how he broke it down. Race being a competition, race is what racism is. Like, you can't have racism without racists. And if you break people up and classify them by race, being the superior being white, the inferior being black. As long as there's a concept of race, racism will always exist. There will always be a superior and inferior when we're talking about race. Like, you can't talk about race and not talk about racism. It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah. I mean, and that goes back to one of the core tenets of his message. But, and there's no but. It is what it is. And, you know, we, even in psychology classes, when I was going through my higher level classes, you know, we used to always talk about in-group, out-group psychology, group dynamics, group psychology. And the fact of the matter is, anytime you have people split up into any kind of groups, you're going to have some form of inequality manifest itself. It's just it's just the way humans have been conditioned and have been inculcated. And we haven't really made any major pushes to do anything different. So even in that space, because you'll hear a lot of, especially psychology people saying, well, race is a abstract concept. It's not a real thing. And it's like, well, that doesn't mean that it doesn't have real world implications. So it is interesting.
Okay. These ideas about gender and sexuality are also social constructs. Let's talk about that. If we want to talk about social constructs and stuff that people just make up, let's talk about these ideas of gender and sexuality, which are also social constructs.
Well, I mean, but you know, that goes back to, you can't have a social society without social constructs. Just like you can't have racism without race, or race without racism. You can't have group dynamics without inequality being present. Now, you can try to minimize those the best you can, but if you get three people in the room, there's going to be some form of conflict pop up if you give them scarce resources. If you give them, if you put three people in a room and you give them two cups of water, there's going to be a fight that's going to break out.
Right.
Now, it might be a come-to-blows fight, but there's going to be some sort of conflict about how to manage the resources present. And somebody's going to dominate. Somebody's going to get left behind, and somebody's going to be sitting in the middle. Now, you might have a group that's more amicable or more altruistic, in which case they will, you know, the quote-unquote leader will choose to split things up amicably, but that's still a power decision being made by one person that affects another. So, it gets to be real interesting how people try to play with words to make things seem not as bad as they are.
Whenever people, race is just a racial construct. Yeah, bitch, but you especially if you're a white person and you say that, you benefit from that racial construct, from that social construct. This shit was built for you. So don't come at me with this social construct stuff when you know goddamn well you take social construct and fucking, like, make it everything about your life. Like, stop that. So, well, we just calling people out for the 2020.
It's funny too, because, like, brother and sister is a social construct. You know, you go into the animal kingdom where they don't really have societies. There's no concept of siblings. Once these motherfuckers become adults, they're liable to mate with anybody.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You know, like, the only thing that some of the animals are hesitant to do is mate with their own parents. But there are still other species where they'll even do that. So the whole concept of family, especially extended family, is a social construct. The whole concept of friendship is a social construct. You know, like, again, you can't talk about society without talking about social constructs. And you can't talk about social constructs without talking about society, because they're one and the same. One can't exist without the other. So, I don't know. It's people are soft. That's
it'd be crazy, man.
That's the big whatever of 2019 too, is that people are politically correct. They're scared and they're soft.
Yeah. Nobody wants to speak the truth. We always have to dance around it. Have to make other people feel good while we're telling the truth. Guess who's still not gonna do that in 2020? Me. Because, I mean, it's not my fault that you become offended. Like, because, and people who become offended so easily, it's like they full of shit. So you can speak what's on your mind, but everybody else can't. But when I speak what's on my mind, I have to make sure I consider your feelings and what I'm saying. No, you don't have to give a damn.
Pretty much.
How about let's do that in 2020, not giving a damn about what other people are saying and just minding your damn business. You choose to be offended. You don't have to be offended. You choose that.
Yeah, because can't nobody offend you if you don't want to be offended. And that's just the truth of it. Like, and even to that, I hear people, what if somebody walk up to you and call your mama a nigga? That's happened before.
Okay.
I wasn't offended. Now, that don't mean that you give a motherfucker a pass.
Right.
But that also doesn't mean you have to be offended. Like, I wasn't offended by it. Now, I didn't get a person a pass, but I wasn't offended either. Because at the end of the day...
But see,
go ahead.
Nah, but see, also that's a blatant act. That's different from me saying, I like to wear fur because fur make me feel good. Then somebody who's an animal lover get mad. So that's two totally different situations.
But that's exactly what I was finna say. Because at the end of the day, a person trying to do something to upset you or offend you is totally different from somebody just speaking freely.
Right.
And so in that situation, and that's why I said, you don't let it pass. You know, you don't give them a pass, but you don't have to be offended either. But the only time anything bothers me is if somebody says it directly to me with the sole intention of trying to work my nerves or offend me, in which case it's self-defense at that point. It's not. But you got these people out here, like if I were to go in public and say I find black women to be the most beautiful women on the planet, every other woman on the, you know, there's going to be somebody from every other group that's going to be pissed off at me. Why are you offended by that? I didn't say that y'all women were ugly. I didn't say nothing about y'all women. I said I think black women are the most beautiful women on the planet. Ain't got shit to do with nobody else.
Somebody offended.
You know, but if I say I want my kids to marry a black woman, and then you got all of these white people and black people offended. Well, why would you teaching your kids racism? Kids already learn racism. They live in America.
Hey man, so whatever, man. So that's five.
Yeah, that was five.
Okay. Yeah, people stupid, man. Like, if I, as a black man living in a racist, oppressed society, if I want my kids to marry a black woman to continue our race, what the hell is the problem with that? Only in America would they try to convince you that you shouldn't continue your race, especially if you're a person of color. Only in America.
And what's interesting is they only have a problem if you say it. They don't have a problem if you just do it.
Right, right. Right. If you say it, it's an issue. So, yeah, man. So I got a list of five things that happened that just fucking unnecessary. Most of them deaths. I'm gonna start though with the teacher who paid the students to twerk on the damn desk.
That was like on my list too that I was debating.
I was like, I know we both have probably had this on our list. But yeah. That boy there took the cake, man. He really took the cake, and he's in total violation because with his predatory act and just whole atmosphere that he created, like a grown ass man who's going to pay students $25 to twerk on the desk in class. Middle school students. So you end up watching middle school girls shake their ass as a grown man. Then you jump on the desk hyping it up while somebody recording. And everybody in there just shaking ass.
What the? Yeah, that he need his whole body whooped.
Straight up.
Yeah, that was wild. I remember going back to track training the next day and talking about that with some of the parents and the other coaches out there with me. And we was all just like, what the fuck? Like, they hadn't even heard the story before. So they had so many questions. And then it just, after about 5 minutes of asking questions, it was just like, what the fuck? Because that's really all you can, that's the only way that that conversation ends. What the fuck? Like, what is you thinking?
Yeah. You just throw something at him or hit him with your car or something. I don't know. Because that's just, it's so unacceptable and so disrespectful and so just like crazy as hell for a grown-ass man. But then, you know, once as the year went on and we started talking more and more and more about human trafficking and all these things here, that's something that kind of was like, well, we got a lot more perverts out here than we really want to acknowledge. Mm-hmm. Or we may even know it's a whole lot of perverts out here that they just need to be thrown in the fucking trash.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, man. People are, you know, I don't have the highest opinion of people to begin with. And we did a lot of shows that definitely didn't help. I don't know, man. People are weird. Well, you know, I don't even know that people are weird. I think we all, and we talked about this before, we have this view of humanity as being this positive, progressive thing. And I think the truth of it is that it's not. And we just ignore all of the examples. It's like people here in the South that want to ignore the racism and the slavery aspect of it to say that, you know, Southerners are nice, good, gentle people. And it's like, but your history doesn't say that. No, well, yeah, I know they own slaves, but still, besides that, that's a pretty big fucking besides. I mean, you know, that's like saying, you know I killed 15 people, but besides that, I'm a pretty nice guy.
Yeah. Throw a whole muffler at his ass, man. Throw a whole toilet at his ass, man. Come on, bro. Get your life together, man.
Yeah, that was a wild one.
Get your life together. So, also, the next one was early in the year, Nipsey Hussle's death. That was just like, what the fuck? And there was two things around that I was like, what the fuck with that? Is one, actual death itself of the dude who decided he wanted to be a fuckboy and kill the man. Over being sensitive, seeing what it said, was like, they told him to get from around the area because they knew what type of guy he was. He got mad. And then when they got his gun, he came back and killed the man. You know. Now, I didn't look too much further into the why, but I know that's a lot of information that came out. But just the fact that that man had to die senselessly like that, I thought that was a big what the fuck, a big blow, something that was very, 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 very unnecessary. And of course, Nipsey wasn't the only death like that, but it's just one that kind of stood out because people gravitated to it and people paid attention to it. But the other side of the what the hell with that is, or the unnecessary things is, Nipsey, like that Biggie song played out with Nipsey's life, like, you're nobody until somebody kills you. And it's not saying that Nipsey Hussle was nobody. People knew who Nipsey Hussle was, but Nipsey literally been in the game over 10 years. Literally been in the game over 10 years. Has been doing great things in his community and with other people around the country. Because when you hear a lot of these other artists and rappers who talk about him interacting in this thing. So he's been doing the thing for a while. But only until he dies do we start to appreciate what he's been doing musically and in the community. And it's just like, that was very unnecessary for us as black people. And the thing about it, we're still continuing these types of behaviors with other people in our communities who are valuable assets to the community. We're not paying them any attention until A, they die, or B, white people give them a platform. And it's like, we have to stop that. That's very unnecessary. Like, the man didn't live in vain. Don't let him die in vain. And it's just a lot of things around that. Now, it's like, the man has sold more music since he's been killed than he did alive and all these things. And it's like, He Nipsey been doing this thing. Nipsey been live. Nipsey been putting it down. But we wait till we always wait till people are here. We can't access people no more to want to praise them and give them their flowers. And it's like, you got to stop doing that. That man was great when he was alive. Don't jump on the bandwagon when he dead. You can give your condolences and all these things, but don't act like you've been a Nipsey Hussle fan the whole time, the whole 10 years he's been out after he died. You just became one in 2019 because he was shot and killed. Like, that was so unnecessary for us. We keep doing.
Yeah, I agree. I think black people, especially here in America, have some sort of warped ancestral veneration thing going on. Where we feel obligated to praise somebody in death, even though we ignore them in life.
Right.
And it's really funky. It's really weird. You know, you saw and we don't do it with everybody either, because John Singleton's death.
Right. Yeah. John Singleton definitely did not get the love upon his death from the total community the way that Nipsey did.
And even when you look at Weatherspoon, you know, one of the most beloved comics in the black community, when he died, he got a lot of love, don't get me wrong, but he didn't get what Nipsey Hussle got. So it's like we only do this with young entertainers, really, is what it seems like, young musicians.
People who we thought were cool and things like this.
Right,
and
then you hit it. You hit it.
Then,
that's it right there.
Right. And then the crazy shit come up about that is now you got people on social media who they found out nobody knew his lineage before he died, but after he died they found out, oh, he's East African, Ethiopia. Oh, well, he's a descendant of Haile Selassie. Man, stop all that. Stop being unnecessary bull, man. Stop all that. Stop it. Stop, black people. Stop. But like you said, the John Singleton and John Witherspoon thing is a great example. More examples of like two more legendary people who are still alive after Nipsey Hussle's death. And there's so many more that we're not really giving the flowers to. But after they die, you know, it was, you know, Pops got his a bit, not like Nipsey. And John Singleton didn't get the fanfare. So I just hope we don't lose any more very important people from our community and people don't care, because Ashra Kwasi is getting older. Dr. Claude Anderson is getting older. You know, Dr. Joy DeGruy is getting older. Like a lot of our scholars, our leaders, our people who've been putting stuff together, boots on the ground, they're getting older, so it's going to take us to make sure that we don't wait till they're dead to praise them, but also give them the flowers while they're alive and give everybody the flowers that's alive doing things.
Yeah, and that's something we might just have to start doing here on the network, because I don't see the community itself. I mean, outside of a Facebook post that people are going to make, people really don't care. You know, people really don't care about Pops, because he's gonna live on in the Friday movies. You know, for them, he ain't going nowhere. You know,
right.
And that's the extent of it. Even with the Nipsey Hussle situation, I feel like what you have there, even with most young cool people, is people want to be cool and pretend like they knew them to try to rub some of that off on them. So they rush to get affiliated, rush to get information. That means I'm going to buy the album and I'm going to listen to it so I can pretend like I've been had it.
Right.
That cool thing you brought up is a powerful angle, and it's something that, you know, we all struggle with, because we got to figure out how to make the scholars cool. We got to figure out how to make an Ashra Kwasi cool, a Joy DeGruy cool, you know, a Claude Anderson cool, so that they don't end up dying like a Dr. Ben in poverty. They don't end up dying like even the Dr. Sebi, who, you know how I feel about him, but he still was somebody that brought a lot to the community. You just go down the list of all of the scholars we've had and how they all, without exception virtually, have passed on with very little fanfare and with very little wealth. The exception to that might end up being Dr. Claude Anderson, but that's only because he's somewhat independently wealthy.
Right.
So, I don't know, man. That cool thing is powerful, and it's a great point. I'm going to be going back to that repeatedly, thinking about it for a while, because we talked before about the need to make things sexy.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's that's crazy that we have to go out and try to popularize or make things cool that's good for us, rather than, like, yeah, I mean, such and such can make a song that make you dance and all this, but this person over here got information that can enhance your life. But anyway, man. But let me finish. Hold on, before we get to it, because we didn't went off left on that. But let me finish. So and I'm gonna just jumble these three together since they all kind of go together. In the same, two of them actually in the same thing, but all three of them in the same city. So the Amber Geiger killing Bob and Jean, that followed with the Joshua Brown murder, and that being followed with the A. Tatiana Jefferson murder. You know, all in Dallas. And all that shit was unnecessary. Like, all of that shit was unnecessary. Starting with Amber Geiger, punk ass. And then black people forgiving her for what she did, going out on a limb to forgive her for what she did, while still not forgiving black people who've done less than what she's done. So that leading up to Joshua Brown testifying against her, and then 2 weeks later he's dead, and then like 2 weeks after that, the A. Tatiana Jefferson situation where the punk ass cop supposed to be doing a wellness check see somebody in the window and just start shooting, doing a wellness check. So three things in this, because we believe that the police had Joshua Brown killed. And so it's like, it's all unnecessary because those people don't have to die. But it's also unnecessary the way we sit around and just allow things to happen, try to be white people's friends, and then try to just move on instead of trying to make sure this stuff don't happen again. And no, the year changing, it going from 2019 to 2020, not going to make conditions better. Because remember, shit happened in 1960, 1860, 1760, stuff like 1660, stuff like this was happening to black people by Europeans. So it's just like, let's take a look at these things that happened to us this past year and grow from them. And do our best to prevent these things from happening again, rather than just like, that happening and just move on and forgetting it. Like, hell, think about it. We ain't too far removed from Trayvon. Because Trayvon Martin was a turning point to where a lot of black people, especially social media space and these things, starting to get a lot more vocal and a lot more involved in things. People start paying more attention after the Trayvon Martin case. So that's why, to me, that one was pivotal. But bringing it back to where we are now, having these three individuals being gunned down by police officers, and then the black community, we're mad. Same, you know, like we always talk, we're mad 2 weeks, then we go back to being regular.
Mm-hmm.
So, all that shit is unnecessary. When are we going to stop doing that? When are we going to make sure that we're truly safe?
In order for us to do that, we would have to acknowledge that we're not safe right now. And I think that's the issue.
Right. We're not safe. Black people in America are not safe. And we got to stop acting like we are. So that was for me, a list of five unnecessary things that I felt that happened this year. What you got?
This whole goddamn year?
After I did those two lists, those two top fives, I just started writing down topics because I like shit. Yeah, the rest of the damn year happens. I don't know. I got to top everything, bitch. We just got topics that stood out, bitch.
Yeah, this whole year was unnecessary in my opinion. The way it went down, like. There's some good things that happened this year. I'm not, we're not going to make it all bad. There are some good things that happened. Washington won the World Series.
Wow.
You know, I had a baby.
Yeah, Pat had. Hey, I shaved my head. I'm bald now. I'm bald, bald, and I start shaving my head. So.
Oh, for real? Word?
Yeah. Heck yeah, I just got to. I got to get used to. I got a couple of shave bumps in the back of my head because I had my scalp got to get used to the blades and stuff. But I've been taking care of it. Other than that, man, no more barbershop for me.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm talking about?
That's what's up. Yeah, man. Outside of that, I'm really struggling to find the positives for 2016 as a whole for Black people. You know, organizationally and personally, there have been some great things that have happened for me this year. But just looking at it in terms of Black people nationally as a whole, this year was a throwaway year.
For black people. Yeah, we didn't make no significant strides this year, especially since a lot of this political stuff come around with these elections and stuff, and Black people just jumping on bandwagons for no reason or for whatever other reason. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a throwaway year. Did it happen this year or last year where we had the elections? And they said the elections in Alabama, when they said Black women the Democrat.
That was last year.
Okay, yeah.
That was last year. Although that's interesting because Enigma talked about that on his show with Gian Jones, and they had a brief, it was very brief, it was like 30 seconds, where they talked about whether or not Black people can carry an election. You know, Gian was saying that we can't. And Enigma was saying that we can because he feels like we've done it before.
So Gian said we can't.
Yeah, Gian said numerically there's just not enough of us
right.
to carry an election. And
right.
Enigma was saying he feels like we've done it before. And so it was an interesting exchange. You know, I tend to agree more with Gian. I do think there's some truth to what Emmanuel says from the standpoint of, we talked about this before, about controlling the margins. If the vote is happening and 45% of the people are voting one way and 45% of the people are voting the other way, all you need to do is control the 11% or the 10% in the middle, and you can control the election. You don't need to control everybody, just that 10% in the middle. And so I do think in that regard, Black people have the ability to control the margins, but I don't know that we actually do it because we vote so
heavily. Because think about it, though. Even though the person we want to get elected gets elected, what do we actually get out of these elections? Even if we can control margins of elections, overall, we really don't benefit from these elections.
We don't ask for shit.
We don't get nothing. But when we do, like when Obama was president, like things were asked for, things were demanded, all types of stuff was put forth, but it didn't happen because you got a lot of these Black politicians aren't for us, and a lot of times we get excited about somebody Black being voted in, but that doesn't mean necessarily that person is going to work for us.
Well, even with Obama though, like we asked things for of Obama. But we didn't demand things like we do with other presidents because he was Black. We didn't want to put him in a position to fail. We didn't want white people ammunition to use against them. So a large section of the community just went to sleep during the Obama presidency.
Yeah, I would say you had groups of Black people who were progressive, who were thinking about Black people. The Black people were always thinking about Black people. Those were the ones who kind of went to Obama and went to people with these plans and these ideas to help improve Black people. But for the most part, you are right. For the most part, Black people didn't really care. They just was happy. So, of course, you know, the Trump impeachment was a hot topic this year And we talked about that in depth. In reparation hearings, man. Because did ADOS exist before or after them reparation hearings?
It existed before, but I think it picked up a lot of steam during. And it became very significant afterwards. But it did exist before the hearings. But the ADOS movement is another thing that, you know, could go on now unnecessary 20
years. Yeah, it can. Because I don't even understand the ADOS movement. I don't even know who all in it, and I don't even know what's the overall purpose of the ADOS movement, because you got what's supposed to say foundational black people or foundational black Americans or black people who were here, who were slaves.
Yeah, those type of black people, not only for the descendants of slaves. That's it. Right. So if you black, but you're not a descendant of slaves, you're not a part of the ADOS movement. Even if you were a black person in America, if none of your ancestors were slaves, you're still not a part of the ADOS movement.
All right. And even with the ADOS movement, okay. All right. Fine. And then, so what's the difference between ADOS and foundational black Americans then? Ain't that like the same?
Yeah, there are a lot of these same groups. I think the ADOS movement, though, is also rooted in the fact that we need white people to fix ourselves. Like, you know, because that's one of the tenets of the one of the ladies that founded them is black people can't right the ship ourselves. We need assistance. And that's why they were so heavily involved in this push to get reparations, because they feel like we can't do nothing unless white people give us some assistance first, which is one of the things that I think is one of the Achilles heels of the movement. Not only is it the fact that they want to further segment black people into these unknowable groups, because if we're being totally honest, most of us just don't know if we had ancestors that were slaves or not, because the records are so poor. You know, you just don't know. Now, there are some people that are fortunate, but a good chunk of us, you know, me, for instance, nobody in my family even knows my great-great-grandmother's name, like her birth name. And that's because my great-great-grandmother, everybody called her Big Mama.
Right.
So they don't know her name. Her name was Big Mama. What's her birth name? They don't know. When was she born? They don't know. Know why they don't know? Because she didn't know when she was born. So you run into all of these problems where it's like, well, how do I know that I'm a part? How do I know that I meet the ADOS criteria? How do I know that you meet the criteria? You know, and what about these other black people?
I just think like that clash, the FDA and ADOS, that's stupid. I mean, it's really just intellectual masturbation amongst black people who we're the smartest black people. So you should listen to us. No, we're the smartest black people, so you should listen to us and all these different things. Then I remember the real estate guy, Jay Morrow, Jay Morrison. Yeah, Jay Morrison. He ended up throwing his hat in the ring, telling people that he had a plan to save black people. And the stuff got ugly amongst black people. So really, all that happened was black people started arguing more amongst black people. We just found something new to argue about, which black people always do. Which is crazy. We got to stop doing that. That's why we don't make significant progress like we think we do.
Yeah, that I don't know, man. That shit is weird. Cause I saw the real estate thing, and I know because you brought it to my attention. And then there was also another investment thing by some wealthy person in Atlanta. It wasn't Jay Moore. It was somebody else. And as far as I know, all of that shit fell through, although the real estate thing wasn't supposed to become anything for another few years, so we can't necessarily say that's falling through yet, because that very well could become something significant. But you're right. I mean, I think he was one of the founding members of that ADOS thing, and black people need to be initiating groups of things that pull us together as a people, not find new ways to fragment us. You know, the only fragmentation that should be there is the people that fuck with you and that's down for this shit and the people that's not. Anything right. else is irrelevant, in my opinion. Because, you know, that's we also had to, and I know it's been around for a while, but it really took it took a lot of steps forward this year was the straight Black Pride movement, which we both know people and are friends with people that are affiliated with that. That doesn't mean that I think that it's a valid movement still. I think it's a silly movement. Not that I don't understand what they're trying to do. I get it. They're trying to counteract the messages that they view of being of trying to effeminate the Black male and trying to get Black yeah. people to stop breeding by getting Black people to become gay. But, you know, for me, when you look at the numbers, look, less than 10% of the Black community, less than 10% of the people, period, are gay. Less than 5%, I believe, of the Black community is right around 5%, is homosexual. So we don't need a movement like that. There's not enough gay people for us to focus on a movement like that. And even if there is, I really give a shit who you dicking down or who you eating up. As long as you down for freeing the people, I'm not gay.
I
don't care.
Yeah. But see, that's one of the things, too, when it comes to that, when people's sexuality, like, how does a person being gay, how would that prevent us from getting what we need as a community? Because we can't act like gay people don't exist in our community, because they do exist. But right. because a person is gay, how does them working with us hurt our overall community? We understand we want to be able to breed and continue our people, but if it's a small percentage of our people who are gay, then how? Right. Now, if we're talking about combating the effeminization of Black males, that's one thing. But if we're talking about I'm not going to work with somebody because they're gay, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, but combating the effeminization of Black males and the masculinization of Black females, because you can't talk about one without talking about the other.
Right, right.
That is separate. Like, creating a straight Black Pride movement doesn't address those issues. Because a male can still be effeminized and a female can still be masculinized and both of them can still be straight. And they could yeah. potentially be in a relationship with each other where the woman plays the role of the quote-unquote man and the man plays the role of the quote-unquote woman.
Yeah, so that, I see it all the time.
So that movement is specifically aimed, in my opinion, just from that frame of reference, is specifically aimed at who you're having sex with. And that's the part where I'm like, okay, that the movement doesn't really serve a purpose. I could see if we knew for a fact, we had hard data that said that 60% of the Black community was homosexual and they're being artificially made homosexual through these nefarious means. Cool. I could rock with a movement like that. I probably still wouldn't support it because I still think it's a silly movement, but I could rock with the idea of needing a movement to counteract something nefarious happening to the community. But when you're looking at the numbers that you're looking at and you're looking at what we're dealing with, and then I just keep going back to I really don't give a fuck who you sleeping with.
Right.
I don't give a fuck who you attracted to, if we being totally right. honest. Shit ain't got shit to do with me. As long as when it's time to ride and be Black, you down to ride and be Black, the rest of that shit don't fucking matter.
Well, so, that's where I be at. So that's why I don't get all up in arms with all these other folk who be like, we gotta do this, and this, and that, and that. Like, nah, man. I don't have to get caught up in all that stuff. That man. Not. I don't. You can't make me either.
Mm-hmm. And again, so. I say this anyways because I'm speaking for myself. I have friends and associates that are fully committed to the straight Black Pride movement. And I make that point to also say that you can be friends with people that you disagree with. You can be associated
with people
that you disagree with. That shit is perfect.
You can. Hard. You can.
Which is something else that needs to be falling apart in 2019 going into 2020.
Yeah. But, man, So I do, because we've been talking for a hot minute about these things. But I just want to do, because in the year, I want to make sure we give a shout out to our guests, though, that we had. Because we had a good lineup of guests. Just quick shout out, man. Because we had, it ain't too many people. Dog, we can get everybody a shout out, Pat. Don't be like that.
You start sizzle, man.
So we got Miss Kristen Jackson. Give a shout out to her. From the Footprints Academy in Charlotte, North Carolina. Our homeboy, author, Stephen Dunn. He dropped his new book, Power and Water. We had the gentleman, Mr. Francely Moise. He's an author. He also does motivational speaking and life skills to a lot of people in Tallahassee and surrounding areas. So shout out to Mr. Francely Moise. Nurse Sharina with the Tiny Docs, which basically she created a platform to teach young people about health in the medical field and kind of get them on the early path to being doctors and nurses and things like that. So shout out to Nurse Sharina. Miss Kizzy Rivers, shout out to her with the Rescue Me Project Ministries, all of her community work that she does for males who are recently released from prison. And so she has programs to help those males find their footing. Shout out to Miss Gian Jones with her Press and Fly. She dropped her book this year, Rainbow in the Starlight and the Starlit Sky, or Starlight Sky. She dropped her book, and she has her platform, Press and Fly, where she does health and wellness and helping get people get in shape, mind, body, and soul. Miss Geatricia Head, we interviewed her about what she does. She's a African dancer. She's a playwright and a director. So we talked to her about all of the elements that she brings to the table as a creator, as an artist, dancer, director, and a couple of the plays that she put on in Tallahassee. Our family of the show, Miss Erica Camardi, who's the head coach of the FAMU High School girls basketball team. We do a yearly interview with her about everything that she does in the community and her work that she does as a basketball coach. Got a chance to go across the water, got international, and interview author and community activist, or author and activist, Khadijah Ward. She authored the books Black Sterling and Dark Boy Boss, or Dark Girl Boss. She created the new platform, Dark Boy Boss, and she took on Hugo Boss, who tried to make her change her Dark Girl Boss platform because it had the word boss in it, and she actually won. So shout out to Ms. Khadijah. Ms. Sonia Dunbar, who's the geriatric tooth fairy, learned a lot. My dental hygiene improved since talking with her, so thank you for her. And thank you for her for going around the Florida area, making sure that our seniors have the dental care they need. Mr. Willie Williams, who dropped his book, Building Concrete Bridges for Youth. He's also a staple in the Tallahassee community, working with the youth. The book talks about how you can actually create competent youth programs to help our young people. Tim the Motivator, a.k.a. Timothy Simpson, we interviewed him. He has his whole motivational platform online and in person, Tim the Motivator. So shout out to Tim. Everything he's done. Shout out to Miss Lashandra Cromarty for being our guest during our Mental Health Awareness Month. She owns the Blue Lotus Counseling and Holistic Wellness Center. So shout out to her for helping us flesh out these conversations, these ideas when it comes to mental health. Shout out to Miss Cynthia Felix Pierre. She's a beautician, a stylist, speaker, and she dropped her book, Where Beauty Demands Structure, where she's giving information about the beautician industry and how to become successful within that. Miss Patrice Rush is the owner of Rush Television Productions and Rush Photography Studios. So she took her journalism degree that she got from FAMU and ran with and created her own platform where she does documentaries, short movies, all types of things, and a photographer, and she just helps people get their dreams out. Shout out to her. Shout out to Bruce Strobel Jr., who's an environmental justice advocate, and we had a great conversation with him about our environment and different things that we can do to improve our environment and learn new things from him. And Miss Wyletta Mason Dunn, she's an author. Several books. Her latest book is Tell Me Your Story, which is a journal that you can write in, and it helps you learn more about your family history and your family story. And our last interview of the year was Lady Yoni, when we talked about healthy sex, healthy vaginas, and ways that women can keep themselves holistically healthy and have good sex. So that's all of our guests. So we want to go ahead and give them a round of applause for jumping on the Freedom Train this year with us. Everybody get down, making it in and making everything go down in the side. So there you go, Pat. There you go. Those are our guests of the year. So, what was your favorite interview, Pat? Nah, I'm just playing. Don't do that.
I wasn't going to. I actually thought about making that list, but then I was like, nah, that's a bad
idea. Nah. We don't do that around here. They are all good interviews. So yeah, everybody really brings significant. Everybody bring good information and keep telling people we're all a piece of a puzzle, man. We just got to know what we do and make sure we fit in the puzzle. Don't try to fit in the world we don't. So,
yeah, we had a series of good shows, or good interviews this year.
We did.
Definitely.
We did, so shout out to all our guests. Man, you got any, do you do New Year's resolutions? Because I don't.
I do not.
I write down goals and things that I want to accomplish, but I don't do resolutions. I try to continue winning. So.
Yeah, for me, everything is a continuation of what I started doing. Because, you know, for me, if I need to do something, I'm just fucking do it.
Like, right.
Like, I'm not going to create no special resolution, no special ritual. Yeah, just start doing it. Start doing it as soon as I feel like I need to do it.
Right. Yeah, man. I mean, it was a good year. We had a lot of good shows, man. It was definitely a good year. And we was able to also for the network, shout out to you, Pat, for everything that you bring to the table with your show, Lessons from the Screen. Shout out to me for everything that I bring to the table with the Fix Sports Podcast. Shout out to Enigma September with the Enigma Sep Hour.
Shout out to me.
And, well, shout out to our newest podcast on the Freedom Train Network too, Shelby Davis with her podcast, Shelby's World. Make sure y'all check those out on the freedomtrainradio.com website, as well as all of our all of the podcasting platforms that we use. We're all on. We basically on all of them. So
yeah,
and that's you know,
hit us up, let us know.
Right. And we got as a network, we got some good things and some new things coming in 2020. But I do want to say this though, for a lot of people, like, if your 2019, if you started 2019 off not doing shit, and you ended 2019 off not doing shit, your 2020 gonna start with you not doing shit, and most likely end with you not doing shit. So if you want to make 1 year better than the next year, you have to actively work toward it. Get your mind right and take the proper actions to make sure that your year is better. It's not gonna get better because you wanted to get better. It's gonna get better because you make it better. So 2020 can only be as great as you make it. So what are you gonna do to make this year better than the next year, right? Because we got to know, man. You want to drop any gems, anything like that before we close the thing on that, man? Because it's New Year, man. Happy New Year to everybody, too. Happy Merry New Year, however you say it. Happy New Year.
Nah, I ain't got nothing.
You ain't got nothing?
Nope. Keep all my shit.
Well, y'all know Pat. You ain't got no power to the people for him.
Nope, not on New Year's Day. People don't need
that. Not on New Year's Day, man. Y'all make sure y'all, man, just live good lives, man. Ball out, man. Be the best you can be in 2020. Like, just cause the damn date change. Cause remember, it's really going from Tuesday to Wednesday. So it's just like every other Wednesday. So just cause date change don't mean stuff gonna improve for you. You got to make it better, man. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. This our year in review, man. This is the Freedom Train Podcast. Thank y'all for tuning in, for the whole Freedom Train family, everybody who support us. Thank you for all the podcasts that we have, everything that we do. We appreciate all the support, and we just ask people to continue to support us and keep spreading the word about us. And we're going to be here, man. We ain't going nowhere. We started podcasting in what year? 2014?
2014.
Yeah, 2014 we started podcasting. It's 2020 and we still here, so So like 5.5, 6 years. I don't remember the exact date, 2014, but
it was around October.
Yeah, so we've been working, so we're coming up on 6 years of podcasting. So we've been here for a minute, we ain't going nowhere, and it's just gonna get better, man. So that being said, I am Joseph Ward. He is Patrick Irvin. This is our year end review. Happy 2020. Happy New Year. Have a good year. Have a blessed year. Have a great year. Make sure you make it better than last year because you made it better, not just because you wish it to be better. I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. Two fingers in the air because we are out of here, man. Happy.